All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
All right, Gary, I have taken this breathalyzer and hooked it up to a gas chromatograph, and I have...
Ooh, fancy word.
Yeah.
Gas chromatical king. Well done.
I think that I know that word most recently outside of chemistry class from Spider-Man, so yeah. Oh.
What context of a Spider-Man?
Marvel Spider-Man, which
well,
I've
I know, but like a movie or like a TV show or...
No,
what's Spider-Man talking about? That?
No,
from the game.
The mini game. Yeah, the mini game from that. And
the
I think
miniature game.
This makes the fifth episode in a row that I've talked about Marvel's Spider-Man. It's a real good game. I'm starting on the DLC here soon.
Me too. The second one's out now. I want to install them and stuff. I just kind of finished Baldur's Gate and I am gonna do some Spider-Man DLC.
Yeah, no. So you like everything is data. So I'm gonna have you blow into this thing. And
I'm real drunk.
I figured we both were when we recorded. Yeah. Notwithstanding the fact that it is 1:41 where you are at right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm functional though.
That's fine.
I'm a pretty functional drinker.
So breath goes in, numbers go out, and the numbers go into the game computer. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Well,
so go ahead and huff on this here bad boy.
Let me wrap my lips around this nos.
Okay, yeah. You have to blow real hard. It's kind of like
that is my lips wrapping around the nose. Yeah. Now that I talked, I have to do it again.
Okay, and then blow. That's weird. Okay. It's not picking up any alcohol, Gary. I think that I've created something to determine what a person loves the most.
Oh. Very cute.
And all that's coming up is
Jumanji.
Is Willow.
Oh, yeah, I don't like Jumanji. It was a Jumanji-esque plot point.
Yes.
Also, did that Foley for me blowing, did it sound like I was doing winter effects?
A little bit, yeah.
Like in my mind, it's fine. Like, it got cold. All of a sudden, hey, listeners.
Yeah, I just put sleigh bells under that one.
Just the, whoa there, whoa. Come up on this cabin in the woods. Yeah, Willow. We're doing Willow, baby.
So this is a fuck for me, and it is a yay for you. Fuck,
it's a merry kill for me. All right, Cole, let's get down to brass cat tacks.
Brass cats.
Fuck, marry, kill. Willow. Mad Mardigan. Or Sorsha.
So here's the thing, Gary. I have not watched Willow, and I did not even look up a plot summary for Willow.
Let's get to Willow today.
What's that?
Like, very car salesman voice. But like, what is it going to take to get you into a Willow today?
So Gary, by this point, out of spite, I will never watch it.
it's
not because I dislike you. It's just because it's become such a thing now that it'll be
built up.
Yeah, it'll be a thing. So the only fact that I know about it is that it is remarkable for having a little person in the lead role,
and a cast that is by volume mostly little people.
Yeah. Which is
like, there's an army of just like sword dudes, but as far as people whose faces you see, you get this entire like village of little people that are like having fun, have their own culture and all that stuff.
Yeah. So that's that's cool. And then just based on one of the screenshots in the, or, you know, like a cutscene in this, I realized, oh, Val Kilmer's in this. Okay.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
So that's Mad Mardigan. So would you say based on that, would you fuck, marry, or kill him?
It depends on what era, because nowadays he's like a pumpkin. So when guys get old and gain weight, there are two kinds. They either turn into pumpkins or they turn into thumbs. Like we've been watching Sean Hannity slowly turn into a thumb over the past 15 years.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Or they turn into like whatever Steve Bannon, Alex Jones are turning into.
Yeah.
Like those guys are not pumpkins nor thumbs. Pumpkins and thumbs are both good. Like they have both have their place. You know, like pumpkin, make yourself a delicious pie.
Yeah.
Thumb, make yourself a delicious pie.
Thumb Steve pie. Bannon,
no pie.
No,
like, pie. Can you imagine having to eat a Steve Bannon pie? What kind of Tales from the Crypt-esque situation would come up for you to have to do that?
I think that, I mean, his digestive system is external, so he would just spit a bunch of acid on it and then slurp up the remains.
Yeah, no, this is you eating a pie, a Steve Bannon pie.
Oh, not like no. What he ate. Well, no, I would die immediately.
Yeah, I feel like it's the kind of thing that, like, you know, it's like a plot of War of the Worlds. Like, people can't, you know, your body is just not made to process those kind of things.
No.
You just die from disease.
Yeah, he's not a carbon-based life form. He's a silly phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, sure. So I'd probably marry Mad Mardigan because he's getting them Batman royalties.
He's getting Batman royalties. He's also a wonderful swordsman.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of strikes me as a bit of an Inigo Montoya kind of guy.
He's a
dashing rogue.
Yeah. In the zine, I describe him as dumb Han Solo.
If Han Solo
was not cunning, is what Mad Mardigan is.
Yeah.
So then you got Willow. So based on what you know about Willow, and this leaves you, you can either fuck Willow or you can kill Willow. Killow?
I think Willow himself, Willow is a he. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think Willow himself is more of a force for good. So yeah, let's fuck.
Okay.
That way, maybe make more of them.
And this has you killing Sorsha, Bav Mortis Queen, who it depends on when in the timeline, because she starts with evil and she turns good.
Okay, so
it's all about the code.
Gary, I don't want to be hurtful about something that you enjoy. A, because that's mean, and B, because you could turn around and say mean things about something else that I enjoy. However. Just in looking at the lore of these games, looking at it, this is boring on the level of like David the Gnome to me.
Yeah. And I can understand why one would say that.
Yeah. Ignorance. Fact, yeah.
Yeah. Ignorance, churlishness, like lack of character, poor education, those things might cause me to make that kind of statement. But in fact, it's good.
Okay.
So it's one of those things.
Yeah. Like, I don't doubt that you like it. It's just.
Yeah. Willow is many things. It is hard for me to think even objectively that it's bland. One of the things about looking at the lore is that if you're looking at the lore of Willow, it's pulling in all kinds of shit from like source books and novelizations.
What?
That gets more generic and dumb.
Okay.
But the movie itself leaves stuff at the like it's very simple, but it leaves like stuff at the margins that isn't really answered. So it's not like,
okay,
you know, all about the politics of like the village structure of the Nelwyns and like their political structures and shit like that. It's just there's a village of little people.
Yeah.
You know,
but like even on the base level of like there's this chosen child and there's an evil nun who wants to kill her and Willow is the one who can protect her. Like that to me seems real boilerplate in a way I'm sure that the performances and the direction and et cetera end up being okay. Like you say, okay, kind of redeems it. It can make a bland thing special, right? But like being exposed to the tertiary media by way of these video games, I'm like, huh, yeah, this is kind of Lord of the Ringsy a little bit.
It's also really weird though. Like here's a detail in it is that they go to like their Mos Eisley scene, you know, and they're in a bar, and in this bar, big thugs are chicken fighting, but both guys have maces. So like one guy gets on the, and it's really just, it's like a blink and you miss it thing. It's really weird. Like one guy's on another guy's shoulder, you know, and then there's four guys total. And then the ones on top have flails. They're not maces, flails. And they're treating each other with flails.
That seems really weird. That seems very difficult to me.
Extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
And stuff. But it's a high point. Danger. Like it's a, you know.
Yeah.
It's a dramatic world.
Yeah. Yeah. We have not introduced ourselves or the show.
We need no introduction.
Can you? I can't.
I'll do it so you can come.
Yeah, I can't finish if we don't start. You know.
Yeah, I'm happy about it, but I'll do it now. Now it's been built up. Talk about things that are built up too much. You won't watch Willow, but now we have to say the intro just so you can ejaculate. Like I feel like that's built up in another way. Like I don't ejaculate when you watch Willow. I'm just gonna, you know, be happy that my friend had a good experience.
Right.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
Is that just suffering the game where the show where you play bad games, so you don't have to. So yeah, fucked it up because of the
Well, yeah, the And this is kind of our Willow super special, primarily talking about the arcade game, which is very good. But we're going to touch on the weird PC one and the NES one that seemed kind of inscrutable to me, mostly because I did not put in enough time or read the manual. So
it's just a Zelda-like.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's a Zelda-like with more RPG elements. Mm-hmm. And then I want to do this because I'm covering this for the zine, but I realized after I decided to do it, it's because I just played them. So I didn't play the PC game, but I played the arcade game and the NES game to completion for the zine. And I was like, oh, these are actually kind of good. And I was like, oh, it'd be fun to do that as a tie-in. But then also realized that the structure of the zine means that anybody listening to this won't be able to buy that issue. So it's something, you know, it would be cool if at the time, if you like this and think it sounds cool and want to read about Willow Goofs, well, you know, it's too late for that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's not too late to get a digital copy through December, but the physical copies, it was probably too late.
Probably.
Yeah. But I always knew that the Willow arcade game was good because I'd played it in the arcade and then set up an emulator and stuff to revisit it and stuff. And I think it's really good.
It's extremely good. Yeah, it is Capcom as fuck down to the part where playing as Willow in the first stage, you have like a charging like Mega Buster kind of thing.
Yeah. You shoot little magic, bullets and stuff.
Yeah.
And they charge up and everything, but it has these like kind of persistent RPG elements, and it has this like modal gameplay where like it's always a platformer, but Willow, it is like a projectile charging platformer. And then when you're Mad Mardigan, it is like Strider. Kinda. Mm-hmm. You know, it is just like a really, and the arcade platformer is something I really love.
Yeah.
It is
a very, exceedingly rare thing in arcades because this feels like a console experience to me, you know, like down to the point where like you're getting money and buying upgrades for your character. It feels like a console experience in the way that like the Capcom D&D.
And it's just kind of like, it's beautiful. Like the models are really cute. Like even if you don't know who they are, if you were just like, this is a little sorcerer man.
Yeah.
Like he's a real cute little sorcerer man.
Yeah.
And there's like all these like loving little details. Like you mantle when you're jumping.
Yeah.
Like I love when you mantle.
Everybody mantles. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody mantle now. Yeah. I love mantling. I hate it in real life.
Right.
Like it's one of my greatest fears is like jumping across a roof and having to mantle.
Right.
Because I just imagine breaking all my ribs immediately on landing on them.
Yeah. Pull-ups were tougher when I was thin. So
yeah, I can't do a pull-up. Are you kidding me?
Die.
Like, yeah, I could maybe like beach myself like a whale onto a ledge.
Right.
After
right.
breaking all those ribs, if like the pain didn't make me just fall into the abyss.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it'll be terrible. But Willow and Mad Mardigan seem to do it just fine. Yeah.
Yeah. They're both good at mantling.
Yeah. But it's like it's a very pretty game and the animation's very good. There are some parts of it that seem just a little bit just coin grabby a little bit.
It's still an arcade game.
Right. So you get to boss fights and I kind of petered out around the time playing as Mad Mardigan when you were on the horse cart.
That's kind of an annoying sequence. There's a couple of auto scrolling style sequences that are a little bit obnoxious.
Yeah, but like in terms of like
memorization based,
in terms of like feeling big and having a good amount of variety, like this owns bones. Like it's great.
Yeah. and the bosses are also like the first one, because when I first played I died to him, but you can like I didn't do it the time I played through it, but I felt confident I could no hit that boss. Like the bosses are pattern based.
Oh, it was easy. So the first one, like the weird dog that breathes fire at you. Like I figured out how to bait it into only firing his fire breath at the ground. Like the further you stand away from him, the lower his fire goes. So like once I figured that out, it was easy and it felt satisfying, like observing his behavior and then, you know, getting him into a corner.
It's interesting too, because your verbs will change because when you get those, again, you get those persistent upgrades. So like when you buy a new spell from the shopkeeper, like that's your new spell and it'll have a different charged effect.
Yeah.
They're not like power-ups, you know, and you buy permanent like attack ups and permanent health ups and stuff like that. And that's neat. You know, Mad Mardigan gets new swords and that's not that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Willow, at least they have, and the spells will have different like arcs and stuff. Like they'll have different kind of patterns.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you get, like most of the game, not for the entirety, but most of the like the mid game you play, you have a little like tornado thing that shoots up. Like it has this like upward arc, a little bit like Airman.
Yeah.
Or like Storm Eagle rather. And Airman, I guess.
Yeah.
Not like Airman, like Storm Eagle. Or like Airman, not like Storm Eagle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Storm Eagle does that forward thing. Yeah. But yeah, like Airman.
Yeah. That's the problem with Mega Man. There are only so many elements at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. There's only four.
Yeah, only four.
So they kind of fuck themselves over.
No.
There's also a really kind of fun, about halfway through the game, you do, there's a scene in Willow. Like, it's actually pretty accurate out of the three adaptations.
Mm-hmm.
This is weirdly, like, probably the most accurate one. You know, they add, like, stages to it. But
that's crazy, yeah. Because the Amiga one's basically a visual novel.
Well, it is, but you also do a lot of stuff that just, like, Willow just doesn't do in that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, there's lots of, like, him... Yeah, I guess that one's also pretty accurate. It's like a visual novel with mini games.
Yeah.
The Amiga, the PC one. This one, as far as just following the general arc.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that one's pretty accurate too, but this one is also pretty accurate. The NES one is not.
Yeah.
But there's a scene in the snow, like where they go down, like they do like a rollicking sled ride thing. And that is a fun auto scroller.
Hmm.
Like, it just feels very like Capcom SNES, you know, arcade type experience kind of thing in a very good way. Like, it's a bummer these never got home ports, or this never got a home port.
Yeah, it'd be good on the SNES, I think.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing for like a 1989 arcade game too.
Yeah, yeah. 1989. Like, yeah. It's just like the character designs, the animation stuff, everything just looks so good.
Yeah, really colorful.
Yeah, colorful. The portraits look good.
Hey Gary, I'm gonna need you to do me two favors. Okay. The first is going to be, can you, in let's say 2 minutes or less, summarize the events of the movie Willow?
Oh my god. Like, yeah, the part I was born to play.
and then I need you to tell me about why you love this so much. I know it's come through in the past, but hey man, this is your time to shine.
Thanks. Yeah. And then we'll talk about games, and we'll talk about whatever. We'll do some more fuckberry kills or whatever. And we'll examine how much we talked about you ejaculating about the theme song to this show. Like, we should probably unpack that a little bit.
We had already done the theme song. We just needed to get, like, I didn't want it. So sometimes on TDRK, we'll be like 35 minutes into a 45 minute episode. And then I will do the intro, because I realized we hadn't done it yet, because we,
that is probably a good impulse. My like instinct is just like, anybody listening to this already fucking knows,
but right,
maybe
right.
This is somebody's first episode.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Ron Howard's listening.
Hey Ron.
Yeah. Hey Ron.
A lot of your work is good.
Yeah. Some of your work is not so bad, my friend.
Right.
During the making of Willow, you had a weird mustache, but I forgive you for that.
Yeah.
And I like that in the behind the scenes making of feature, you stand up to George Lucas.
Of course. Well, yeah.
So anybody
you have
who stands
to.
Up to George Lucas is great.
Yeah.
Like, there's a part where just like that weird, the beardy weirdo who's what is George Lucas aging into?
Oh, I mean, he's got to be a stripe of the Bannon.
Yeah. He's got a little Bannon in him.
Yeah.
You know, he's not quite full Shoggoth, but he's like one of those like Shoggoth lords that kind of looks like a person.
Mm,
like, we'll get to the Shoggoth lords, but he's kind of like a Shoggoth lord. No, Willow is a pastiche. Like, it is very much a like monomyth style fantasy story about
the story concept is by George Lucas, so like it will follow hero's journey.
It is very hero's journey, where a there is an evil queen who's taking over through military might, and there is a girl who is prophesized to destroy her, and so she's trying to round her up. The little girl escapes, and by happenstance comes into a village of little people called Nelwyns, and after some kind of strum and drang and refusing the call, Willow decides to go out and try to bring her back to her people.
A little bit of a Bilbo Baggins style thing, like I get the sense the Nelwyns are a little bit like hobbits.
Yeah. A little bit like that. There's a weird, like, dark, like, I watched this movie like four times this month for the reunion. Like, it's too much Willow, even for me. But there's all these weird little dark hints. Like, there's a part where his main antagonist in the village is like, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to work in the mines. And I'm like, where the fuck are there mines? Like, do you guys have a slave? Do you guys have slaves? Jesus, Nelwyns. Like, what do you mean you'll work in the mines? Like, who's running these mines? Like, you guys all live in grass huts. And what are you getting from the mines? Like, there's nothing evidence in the mines, you know? Like, are you just working them for fun? Like,
I mean, it might just be a hole that they throw them down.
That working the mines could be that, actually.
Yeah,
or he could be like maybe he's saying working the mind.
Ooh, they're gonna, you know? they're gonna put him in a mind prison.
Yeah.
Oh no, Willow got mazed.
Yeah. Willow got nilfed. But so he just goes on an adventure and meets a crew, because it's hero's journey,
right,
kind of thing. That actually matches up. Like, when people don't like Willow, I think that like the generic fantasy complaint has less weight, because there's not that many fantasy movies,
right,
than the Star Wars ripoff complaint, because it does follow a lot of the rhythms of Star Wars.
Like you said, Val Kilmer doing dumb Han Solo.
Rogue.
Yeah.
Yep. Han Solo. And then he has a romantic interest who is like, has a little bit less agency than Leia, but is also tied to like the grander world, like it's the, you know, the evil sorceress, his daughter. So yeah. There's a little bit of that combination, like Darth Vader was my father, you know, his lover is their daughter. Like there's a little bit of that mommy issues, their daddy issues. And there's a couple of comic relief characters who are the worst, you know, so that happens. Like all those things are true.
Right, right.
But like what's kind of cool about it is that Willow is not like a martial character. He doesn't, you know, get good at fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just really resourceful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they go and they fight the queen. And they win. And he does it through trickery. Like he tricks her. He doesn't fight her in a duel. There's no like big sword fight for him. Like he uses his there's a callback to the beginning where it's just like him being clever and using sleight of hand.
Yeah, yeah.
So which is a nice little climax.
Does he kill her or like trap her in some kind of gem or mirror or something?
It's what it seems like. It's kind of weird. Like she's doing a ritual, so she's gonna banish Alora Dannon's soul to like another realm. And Willow freaks her out and causes her to like spill one of the components of the ritual, which then causes, and this is unclear, like an evil red lightning strikes her.
Mm.
So that's presumably what she was going to have done to the baby, to the child of Alora Dannon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just kind of like the blocking of it doesn't make tons of sense. Like she drops the blood and that's what causes the lightning to pick a new target. Like, okay. I don't really understand that part.
You know, a spell backfire kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But like a spell back, that's exactly what it is. Like he causes a spell to backfire by like causing her to lose her composure.
Okay. Yeah.
So
that sounds fine. Is it the case that, so I know that in the initial drafts for Star Wars, George Lucas was really pushing for the main character and for Leia to be little people as well. It's kind of like a thing for him or was at that time. And this was like his chance to get that version of the story told. Or like, do you know any of that like production background or?
I know that he said that like it's been in his head for like a long time. Mm-hmm. Like the time he made it, he was, you know, I had this idea before Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
As a thing. So yeah, I wonder if that can't come from like a good place. Doesn't it feel like have to be like, I mean, like it almost seems like to him it's like this, you know, this is like a real life fantasy race to him.
Yeah, maybe. Like it's very, very difficult to give the creator of Jar Jar Binks and that crazy anti-Semitic caricature that was like Watto. It's really difficult to give him a benefit of the doubt in regards to like sensitivity or whatever. Like the best read is like, oh, a little person should get to be a hero.
Yeah.
You know,
and
like
that, and it functions as such.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there hadn't been a live action Lord of the Rings yet, you know,
mm-hmm.
like we're going to cast actual little people and not do, camera trickery.
They don't actually cast, you know, they just don't for that. They're just like, no, we'll just have.
Right.
Fucking not the guy from Spider-Man.
Right.
You know? So.
Yeah.
I feel like it is hard to give him the benefit of the doubt because I don't like him as a man. Right. I think in interviews and stuff, he's really obnoxious. And I watched a bunch of bonus features and stuff for the movie and he's not good in it.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of gross.
He's
so like 1990 and he's just like, I don't make special effects films. I make movies about characters that have special effects in them. And like apropos of nothing. Like nobody asked you that. And also you're going to do the special editions. Like you're going to literally just undo that in like 2 seconds, right. You know, like you're just a few years away from, undoing that for a gigantic paycheck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. Why did Ron Howard direct this and not George Lucas?
I don't know. Cause George Lucas was there like on set, like, you know, kind of like helping out and stuff. So I don't know why it's like, specifically a Ron Howard movie.
Yeah. Like I know with Star Wars, he eventually like specifically with Empire Strikes Back, he was like, yeah, I want other people to direct this. And then he immediately came in and just wrested control back from Lawrence Kasdan. But it just seems real, real persnickety.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't seem like a good man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did this stick? Yeah. How did this stick for you?
Like age probably. Like probably just when I saw it. But also in like, I appreciate it because it is. You know, you can like read the extended novels and get all into that source book stuff. But even then there's a fraction of what there is for Star Wars or even Lord of the Rings.
Right. Right.
You know, just in terms of like if this were a book, like the page count is just very svelte. Like it relies on some archetypes in order to save time and not get too lore wanky, you know, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
And it's just like it is a fun movie. Like it is a well-paced, like visually interesting movie.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a good children's movie.
Yeah. Well, like, you've said this, and I've seen Bob Mackie say this, where, God, this feels like a fucking interview. I'm sorry,
no,
man.
No. But we'll stop that part. I'm sorry. Because I didn't, that wasn't my intent in picking this. We'll talk about, again, we'll talk about you coming to the opening credits later.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no. Instead of asking you, I'll say this for me. For me, Star Wars hit me because I was like 9 years old when the remasters started came out, or the special editions, mm-hmm. or whatever. Like, it hit theaters, and it went, you know, like all this merchandise and stuff. Everybody was watching it, so that was the right time. But like, this hit you when you were 9 or 8 because it came out in like 1988. So you were born like the one time in history when Star Wars was old, and therefore like,
and this was new.
Yeah, like Star Wars was out of the culture, and then like this was in here with roughly the same template.
Yeah, like this and Labyrinth like were the two big ones for that.
Yeah,
you know, that I was like right in the pocket for.
Yeah.
So, and like I watched Star Wars when I was a kid and liked it when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, part of this is that I don't like, and this is, it's a silly point of pride, but it's kind of a point of pride, is like, I don't know that I have anything that I just purely like from nostalgia. Like, mm-hmm. I'll go back and revisit stuff and not like it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, just because I liked it when I was a kid doesn't mean I have to like it now.
Right.
And that happens with some frequency,
mm-hmm.
you know, like not just least of which on Watch Out for Fireballs, but it happens with movies and TV shows and stuff too.
Yeah.
So there's gotta be something either that like will transform into it being weird, like mm-hmm. see Skeleton Warriors, right? Like, I don't think Skeleton Warriors has sophisticated plots or anything like that. I just think it's like, it transforms into something like either just metal and fun aesthetically, and mm-hmm. also semi-ironic.
Yeah,
you know, because it's so silly.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, you come out swinging with, oh, I love Willow. People are like, wait a minute, that not Star Wars fantasy thing? Okay, yeah.
You know, but it's not just because I was little. Yeah. Like, also, I watched it 4 times this month, and it's like, it's a fun movie.
Yeah,
like, it is a good fun movie. The music is good. Like, the visuals are neat. There are a couple of things that are weird about it that are unusual. Like, mm-hmm. I referenced 1,000 times on the show, but like the way that magic is approached in the movie is really interesting. Like, it's painful. You know, like, it hurts,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just painful to transform, which is like great and foundational, but it's painful just to do it,
mm-hmm.
and it smells bad. Like, doing it, like, you can smell bad when somebody is doing magic,
like it brings brimstone in or something like that.
Yeah, it's just like a neat little detail,
yeah,
like that. Like, it just hurts to do it. Like, mm-hmm. when Willow is trying to he meets a sorceress, and he's trying to transform her back into her form. She's an opossum at first, which I did not realize was different than a possum.
Oh yeah,
but this opossum, it's like a
European thing primarily.
Yeah,
yeah,
really cute. trying to transform her back into her human form, and he can't do it. He like misfires the spell a bunch of times because one, like, magic is hard in Willow,
mm-hmm.
and two, it's it hurts too bad. Like, it starts burning his hand to try to do the magic,
mm-hmm.
and he has to stop, and it like stops halfway through and changes her into a different animal.
See, that's the thing about like evocation, right? I think about burning hands, and I think about like, oh, this must be like touching a stove. Like, there's nothing inherent about, like, you're just like, you've got all that fire next to you, you know?
Yeah. And the convection or whatever,
yeah,
you know, just the heat from the air.
And if a spell makes light and sound, why wouldn't it also make smell? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like olfactory components.
Mm-hmm.
In D&D terms. And then the other like real good magic, like when she transforms into a human, it does something like in Witcher 3 with the spoon collector,
mm-hmm.
where she transformed when she's young, and when she comes out she's old and like withered, like time kept passing.
Oh,
and
nice.
She didn't expect it to, which is like, shit. I love that trope.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a very like kind of sad scene,
mm-hmm.
you know, when she realizes, because Mad Mardigan, who is just like too horny for this world, like at one point gets bored when they're captured, and it's like, what kind of person, what do you look like when you're not an opossum, you know? He's kind of like hornily hitting on the sorceress, and she's like, brushes him off, and then she says, no, I'm a beautiful, you know, I'm a young beautiful woman, like,
excuse
in this kind
me,
of like,
sir, can you stop hitting on that possum for a second, please?
Yeah, I think she was a raven at that point.
Okay.
So he's gonna, no, that's when she turns into a raven when Willow fucks up the spell, but like, just, you know, hitting on this possum and just being like, you know, that possum gets a vagina. Like, I'm going to do it. That
vagina, I guess. Excuse me. Did you just say vagina like it's Virginia, but for vaginas?
I'm trying that on, actually. That's on purpose. I've been workshopping that in my head today.
Yeah. And I also accidentally said vagina. So,
yeah, Virginia. When she gets that vagina, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to fuck it, is what Maggot Mortigan's saying, because he's a horny idiot. Like, unlike Han Solo, which is this weird, like, sexless furrow monster, you know? Like, yeah.
Oh, man. So weirdly enough, this is just a little factoid, so Val Kilmer, he starred, just because we need to have this intersection. He starred in a movie called The Chaos Experiment, where a person who believes in global warming captures a bunch of people and tortures them by putting them in a steam room.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's rad.
Yeah. So he stars in that as an eco-terrorist. And that movie was produced by Steve Bannon.
That's crazy.
I know, right?
That's real weird too, because Steve Bannon doesn't want people to care about that.
Well, no, now. What he is?
Oh, he was wrong.
Yeah, what he was saying was people who believe in global warming will kill you by cooking you.
That's funny.
Yeah.
God, what a goblin.
Yeah.
That guy is like Steve Bannon, who's like not turning into a thumb or a mafia, but like an orc. Yeah, that's something. He also, Val Kilmer married the romantic lead in this. They got married.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Huh. I'm like, we're married for like 9 years.
Oh, wow.
He's also in one of my favorite movies from the 80s, Real Genius.
Real Genius is amazing. I love Real Genius. That is so good. I had such a crush on the female lead in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a hottie. And it's just kind of a fun, like, that kind of like science kids getting into trouble.
Well, the climax of that movie is amazing because they solve it with popcorn and lasers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just stick it to that. They really stick it to a religious guy. I saw that they showed that the second round theater. I went and watched that on like kind of a bad date, but it was all right because I was watching Real Genius.
Yeah.
A couple years ago. And then just like that guy was real religious, and that's how they tease him. They pretend to be God to trick him into the popcorn house.
That's,
you know, which sounds like a real like dreadful euphemism.
But, like, tricked you into the popcorn house.
Yeah, go down to the mall, pretend to be God, trick teens into my popcorn house.
Yeah, no, that Real Genius is amazing. I was going to talk about that if you didn't bring it up, so I'm happy that you did. Like, in terms of, you know, nerds rule the day, that has to be the best one. People talk lots of good stuff about Weird Science, and I think Weird Science is a fucking gross movie.
Well, Weird Science and Revenge of the Nerds both have rapey elements.
Yeah.
And Real Genius is pure.
Yes.
Like, he's at some point, like, probably kisses the girl at the end, but it's not, you know, it's not about how horny nerds are.
Yeah. Like it is not specifically about making a dream woman who serves you and beats up your bullies and turns your older brother into a shit monster.
Weird Science is probably, that has to be one of the movies that has aged the worst. I haven't seen it, but I can't imagine that being in any element okay.
Yeah, I caught it on like Comedy Central for that was the first time I saw it, like back in the early 2000s, and I looked and I was like, this is real yucky.
Yeah, that's gross. It has that Oingo Boingo song.
Yes.
You know, which is hard to like argue with.
Right.
But
yeah. No, but it's in terms of those, like Real Genius is the best because it talks about like the pressures of academia and how you know, it's about Kilmer. He's not going to follow their rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And also just using science applications to to fight evil. Like, they're on the source of good too. They're fighting the military industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie. Like, Real Genius is real good.
Yeah.
They should call it Real Good.
Oh yeah. that's a better title.
Yeah, real good. Just so you know. So the arcade game of this is a Stone Cold classic Capcom like arcade platformer.
Right.
Deserves a lot more credit. The NES game is, I think, like a above average Legend of Zelda like it is a Legend of Zelda with more RPG style elements, like you go to towns and stuff,
mm-hmm.
And everything, but it's very Zelda,
yeah,
fun.
How is it in the way of like items and puzzle solving and stuff like that?
There is not much in the way of puzzles. It's mostly action.
Okay.
And items don't really have tons. Like, the biggest problem with it is like items have like only a certain amount of utility. Like, a lot of them are attacks. You know, so very early on, you get like a thing that paralyzes enemies, which is very useful, you know, for like crowd control and stuff. There's a little bit of that. It's not super sophisticated, but I would not say it's any less sophisticated than Zelda 1, where like Zelda in terms of just like an action game, you know, because Zelda 1, you mostly have attacks as well. And your utility stuff is for finding either just moving forward, like the raft is not a fun item. The ladder is not a fun item.
Yeah.
Or like for finding secrets, and it doesn't have the secret element to it. You know, like, so it's not like there are tons of hidden secrets in the Willow NES game.
Right.
But I also would say it's probably a little bit better as an action game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels a little bit better in the hand. So it's kind of a trade off.
Yeah.
Better than the other Zelda knockoff that we played for the show.
Which one?
The one, like, the
Sega Master System one. Oh, Newtopia. Newtopia. Yeah.
The G16 one. That one, I think it's better than that. Like, significantly better than that. So pretty good. And again, like, nobody ever talks about that game, but I think it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
And weird that Capcom went on to do Zelda games. And that's kind of their, it seems like their first one.
Yeah.
Their first Zelda-like. You know, because they did those Game Boy.
Zeldas. Yeah, they did the portable ones that are real good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I want to hear about this. I want to hear about this PC one, because it's the one of these that I didn't play.
It's unplayable. It's like you. It's really interesting though, the way that it, as a structure for a game, it's very interesting because it is like an illustrated long scroll that is the plot of the movie with illustrations that you can scroll up and down through, and then certain scenes are hyperlinked, and those hyperlink to mini games that represent those scenes. So like you can go the first one where it's like the lady who was the nursemaid for the chosen child has to escape. And that's the first one. And it's a first person dungeon crawl with like kind of puzzles and stuff.
That's weird. How do you do a first person dungeon crawl as a mini game, though?
It's just a short version of it.
Huh.
Like, and it's more like a maze than anything. Like, you don't actually fight in it. I say dungeon crawl just because it looks like wizardry.
Right. Right.
You know, you don't actually fight. It's like a maze with like a couple of minor, you know, order of operations style puzzles, like not really puzzles.
Yeah.
And then like there's kind of like an overhead stealth thing that reminds me of NES Metal Gear a little bit, by which I mean bad. Like that's not good stealth.
Right.
Where you're avoiding dogs and stuff. And there is
you said NES Metal Gear and I almost corrected you to say, oh, you mean Game Boy Color Metal Gear. No, forgot there was a Metal Gear game for NES.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's also from my Willow research because I read the Willow Marvel comic and I have the issue. So it has the ads.
Okay.
That is an awesome Metal Gear ad with like all the equipment on the back. I love that ad. Like for not being a Metal Gear dude, like that was a very compelling ad as a kid. But it's like that, and then there's like one that's like kind of a cute quick time event style first person like sliding down an ice tunnel thing, and there's a side scrolling bit and they all have different, it has that PC thing of the time where like it's hard to classify as a genre, like similar to the Dune where it's like you just keep switching modes, like you know, I'm just like every one of these is a different gameplay mode and you never have quite enough time to get used to it. You know, or like a TNC Surf Designs or whatever. You know, whereas like every one of these events has a totally different and absolutely bonkers control scheme.
Yeah, it's the skate or die phenomenon. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's a little bit like that, but without an extreme sports skin.
I'm sorry, I mispronounced that. Skate or die, 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 die.
Die, 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 die. Yeah. So it's pretty bad. I did not. It's the only one I didn't beat. Like I had it, you know, grand designs of beating it. Also, and since the Xeno will already be out by the time this drops or be already in mailboxes and stuff, I had high hopes of playing the board game with people, but schedules aren't working out. So I'm going to play the board game with me as all the players.
Are you going to film it?
No, I'm going to take a couple pictures, but I also just want to be able to see what the board game is like.
Oh, yeah.
Which actually seems kind of good. It's really weird. It's like Greg Costigan, who is a real, you know, he's not a slouch. Like he did, he's done stuff.
Yeah.
And it's him, and it's like kind of seems like a good board game for like a Willow board game from 1999, published by a book publisher
from 1999. Jesus.
Sorry, 1990.
Okay, I was gonna
just throw in an extra nines there.
Yeah, he is. You just say just keep adding nines until it's right.
So
yeah. Did you just have the Willow game lying around, or was that an acquisition for the zine?
No, it was an acquisition for the zine.
Yeah.
Like I bought it from online.
It just seems like a thing you would have.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's I'm glad that I have the Skeleton Warriors game too, and it's unplayable. Like, this actually looks like it might be fun to play, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think the biggest issue, the reason why I couldn't get people together for it is that like you can play it with less than the optimal amount, but it's kind of before games got sophisticated about designing for that.
Right.
So like you really need like six people.
Oh geez.
To play it optimally.
Yeah. So only three games of that have ever been played in the existence of time.
Exactly. Otherwise you just play like you can play as a two player game, which I can get somebody else to play with me, but it would be one person controls four characters. You control four hands of cards.
Mm.
And I'm like, that sounds pretty miserable.
Yeah.
Like I'm just gonna take four turns in a row. You know?
Yeah.
That sucks.
And also like this is probably before like crossplay was built into the mechanics of the board game. So like it's really just you, you playing six different people working for the same goal probably.
Yeah, I mean, that's or it's well, it is crossplay. There's two evil characters and four good ones.
Okay.
So it's asymmetrical in a kind of interesting way. And one of the characters, Sorsha, can switch sides if certain events are met. So as a good character, like, you are not only trying to achieve the win conditions, but you're also trying to convert the evil character because you can cut their power in half.
Okay.
If you can do that, like, it's neat. It's like a neat board game. Yeah. You know, it doesn't. It's not a great adaptation, but it's a neat board game.
Which one is Sorsha again? I'm sorry, I forgot.
She's the redhead who married Val Kilmer in real life.
Oh, okay.
And caused an erotic awakening in yours truly, okay, in a lot of ways.
Wait, like, a minute. I thought that was Gremlin. Like, Gremlin lady.
It's kind of a trio between Phoebe Cates, Sorsha, and Jennifer Connelly.
Mm, yeah.
So it's just people from movies where they fought monsters, you know, and then went on to step on my dick and balls for good funds, you know. I got so, you know. Yeah, that was the arc.
Yeah, yeah. Later, well, just lending you some helping hands.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we are helping. You're hurting. I know. It's both.
Fucking gross.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You know, it's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
You'd be spillo all over this place.
It's gonna spill all my seed.
I'm gonna spill my seed, Sorsha.
Again,
you choose the finger that has the magic in it. Is it this one or is it this one?
Again, fucking yuck.
Yeah, I don't know, this like willow cross sex thing.
Yeah, no, so just you need to write, produce, and direct the first ethical willow porn parody.
Well. So it's funny that you say that. I think we should wrap up.
Okay. Here.
But I want to, and part of me wanting to do this is a promotion for the zine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the case. So I want to do a reading. Can I do a reading?
Sure.
It's not that long. But this is my pitch that's in the zine for Willow 2.
Okay.
You don't need to know very much about Willow 1 to follow.
All right.
All right. Just so you have to know who the characters are. Okay. Are you ready? And this can be the end of the episode.
Oh, there's a little bit more that we want to do because there is some game facts on this.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'll do this real quick and then we'll do game facts.
Yeah.
This won't be long. Okay. Willow ended a while back. The titular Willow is back in his home village railing Kaya when there's a knock at the hut. Who can that be? Kaya hornily moans, but Willow ignores her while bringing her to climax. He then unwraps his hog because Willow doesn't need any more moppets and goes to the door. He opens it, finding no one. He steps over Burglecut's corpse. How inconvenient that we tried him for crimes and executed him right in front of my front door. That's Nelwyn Law, I guess. He shrugs. He looks around, trying to find the errant knockist, but to no avail. Just then, he notices a note that has been daggered to his door. He rips it free while Kaya continues to achieve the ultimate pleasure in the other room. The note reads,
without him?
Willow, it's time for a rematch. Love, Bav motherfucking Morda. Willow crumbles up the note. I thought we got her. Well, no matter. Killing skanks and is like riding a Nelwynese bicycle. You never forget how. He begins gearing up, packing up his magic acorns. Dada! Comes a scream from outside. Willow rushes out to see that Mim and Rannan, his adorable children, have been killed by dogs with glue stuff glued to them. One of the dogs has a note dagger to its side. Willow reads it. This is to show you how serious I am, you baby bitch, Bav Morda says. Willow crumples up the note and puts it next to the earlier note. I'm going to need help, he says. Between the two movies, Willow invented guns. Willow travels on the back of a Nelwynese riding pig to Turris Lean, packing heat, sniping trolls and such along the way. When he arrives at the kingdom, King Mad Mardigan gallops out to greet him. Hello, Peck. Willow smiles at the callback and the audience goes apeshit too. Willow then fills in his friend. We got to get to Nachmar and kick ass. Val Kilmer says, now old. Let me go give Sorsha a couple of gasms before I go. Willow shakes his head no. She'll have to take those gasms for the road, my friend. We'll need her skills with a sniper rifle. The three of them head to Nachmar, not encountering Rule and French John or whatever the other brownie was called. When they get to the castle, they find that Bav Morda has already dominated completely. She's on the crenellations and she winks at the audience, saying, you're all pigs. Willow shrugs at the camera and then continues his march, firing hollow points at the wicked spinster. Sorsha is also firing her custom sniper rifle, which is called Closed Casket, because she always aims for the face. Bav Morda's spells prove too strong. Just then, Mad Mardigan has an idea. Your acorns, Willow. Use your acorns. Willow fishes an acorn out of his bag and rubs it on a bullet. This one's for you, Migosh. I wish I had never asked you to clean my magical automated thresher. Willow then loads the bullet into his revolver, which he named after his son and daughter while he was on the road. "This one's for all the people who die between the movies," he cries, and puts one right between Bad Morta's eyes. The end.
Congratulations, Gary. Not for the first time, you have made something for no one.
Thank you.
That is incredibly funny.
Thank you.
He smiled at the callback. And so did the audience. Yeah. Roadgasms.
A couple of gasms for the road.
So it's funny that you mentioned closed caskets, because we're gonna go casket shopping with our good friend Casket Darkfire.
I missed this. I forgot. So I got home late today, and uh-huh. I was like, I need to research the other game we're recording about. But I just did a bunch of research on Willow, but I didn't consider Game Facts somehow.
Oh,
it's like I forgot what show we do.
It's not like we've been doing this for almost 250.
Yeah, it's like
almost
the 300. One thing to do, there's nothing. Whoa, good.
what is this?
Yeah, this is a good title for a review, Casket.
Yep. There is nothing, and the casket means nothing that comes as close to perfection as this title does.
What does that first sentence mean? And Casket spelled with a K like his name is.
Yeah. And I mean nothing. So this is a very positive review by our good friend Casket Darkfire. And I went and looked. There are several games that got a 10 out of 10, while this one got a 9. I think his standards loosened up post-2001.
Yeah, well, at 9/11.
Oh, like, yeah, everything changed. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But the actual prose of the review is very much just
boilerplate Casket, and it's hard in the shadow of the Grammatical King.
Yes,
you know, to like Casket Darkfire, you need to really up your game in retrospect.
Yep, I'm sorry if you want to be the worst.
Yeah, if you think you're not gonna sweep the worsties anymore, my friend.
Yeah. But yeah, this is weirdly concise for Casket, and also there's not as much pretension. Like, even the opening statement, looking into the past on the Nintendo Entertainment System, you come across games that have such great role-playing elements to them, and you find they have nothing to do with the Final Fantasy series. Okay, fine. Yeah, there are good RPGs on the, like, that are Final Fantasy. Oh, cool. All right, fine. A little wordy, but yeah, just kind of inoffensive. I think you're right. I think that Grammatical King deranged us.
Yeah, Grammatical King really set a high standard.
Yeah.
You know, it's like all pizza right now is like frozen bad pizza.
Yes.
You know?
Casket Darkfire, more like Casket DiGiorno.
Yeah, Casket DiGiorno fire. I'm gratified by how positive these reviews are. There are a couple, like, 3 stars and a lower, like, one that says it's straight up bad by Horror Spooky.
Yeah. This is specifically the NES one. There's not that much on the arcade.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that Brewplex named his Revenge of the Little People.
Mm, yeah.
Like, he's not using a slur or anything like that, but I still just don't. It's weird.
Yeah, lots of people throwing the midget word around on these boards as well.
Yeah.
And then if you go to the Commodore 64 boards, we have one of our classic, just like a group of people just kind of setting up shop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Head on over.
We have one person who is role playing as the Fonz. Midget Grandpa Grandpa Ma says A is the subject, and then the body is a Kirby emote hits jukebox with fist, breaks it. IR sad panda now spelled NAO. And then Van Adelheid says, "That was my jukebox, jerk." So
this is all from like 2009 too.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, that's when the action started on that, was like 30 years after the game came out. So, that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
This is an evil board.
Yes.
Like, if you look around, there's worse stuff too. Like, I don't want to draw attention. This is weird. This is a wrong board.
Yes.
This is incorrect. This is an unfortunate crew. And I don't know if that's a Commodore 64. I don't want to believe that's a Willow thing. I feel like that's a Commodore 64 thing.
Or it could just be like
with their dreaded leader, Sid Chip.
Sid Chip. As he sits on his crown of skulls.
Thank you for indulging me in this.
No, it's fine. Hey, you mentioned we had somebody who suggested this, but while I look that up, can you tell us? So you were talking about a zine. I have no idea what that is or what you may be referring to. Okay, all right.
I do a B movie zine called Cassette Goblin. You can find out more information if you go to patreon.com/cassettegoblin.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get obviously I want more people to get it, but also one specific thing is I want more people to get on the Slack that we have, because we do like viewing parties and stuff.
Oh, nice.
For the movies. And in Christmas, we're doing Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, which is like Mickey Rooney in like a Christmas horror movie, which is really good. But yeah, in January, Mickey Rooney's very in it.
Yeah.
And then in January, we're doing Abject Suffering Classic Rat Boy.
Ooh.
So if you want to get in for the January issue, and the issues are limited, like they just, you get in for the month and then you get the issue. And otherwise, like I have like maybe 10 copies of issue one, mm-hmm. like just floating around my apartment, but like, I'm not going to print more. So
yeah,
it is a limited time kind of special thing. So
nice.
Yeah. Rat Boy is going to be fun. There's definitely going to be like a segment of the zine that just like, this is what happens in Rat Boy. It's like, yeah. I can't presume people know Rat Boy. And
a lot of
Rat Boy is just what happens in Rat Boy. And also, my friend Austin has a movie called Rat Man that isn't a sequel, but I think I'm going to treat it like it is.
Okay.
Because there's quite enough to talk about in Rat Boy.
Yeah.
But if I just put a Rat Man as well, like, you know.
No. And I think that you can get some good fiction. Like here is the interquel. Here is like Final Fantasy IV, the aftermath or whatever. the between years.
Yeah. The everything about like the whole Rat family.
Yeah.
Like Rat of Uncle.
Mm. Yeah, you know. do what is it, Willard or Ben or whatever it is. Just do both of those as well. Just the 80s, the 80s rat mania.
Weird rat craze. Those are all into. You think rats are due for a comeback?
I think so, yeah.
I think so too. We haven't had a good rat movie in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Cal was the one person who recommended that we play. I just kind of suggested all of you saying, sorry, Gary, but I have no idea what you're talking about ever. So maybe this will help.
Oh, nice.
No, Cal suggested stuff before.
Okay. This is the, well, the, now you know.
Yeah.
Now you know. If you like this show,
mm-hmm.
you can support this network at patreon.com/duckfeedtv. And you get extra episodes of it, and you get to suggest suggest for free. You can dictate games. So you can say, I want to hear either you guys talk about whatever.
Yeah.
And just pick the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So please go do that. It does make a big difference for us. And also go to duckfeed.tv/store and buy back episodes of this, of our premium episodes rather.
Yeah.
There are lots of those, and there's some really good stuff in there. Gary, you promoted your thing. Can I do a short plug for my
friend? Absolutely. Of course.
If you go to hexcrank.com or patreon.com/hexcrank, you can see my retrospective for a game that we covered in the past on Abject Suffering. Don't Go Alone, horror themed bunny crawler.
Very good.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I did cut you off. Sorry.
No. That was a lot of fun to make, because there wasn't enough to like. There wasn't really enough to say about it, so I just put in a 2-minute montage of all of the monsters doing a dance party to Bolero by Ravel. Yeah. So that is a Patreon. We have a Discord, et cetera, et cetera. And I do retrospectives and streams of horror games. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very cool.
Cool. Well, I think that's everything.
Good stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for listening, and until next time, who is dog with stuff glued to them? Because this movie features that, similar to Resident Evil the movie.